Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Last week, I think I got more upset than I have ever gotten in 18 years on the air at a Christian leader. And it had to do with the story that Focus on the Family says that they will not oppose a homosexual nominee to the U.S. Supreme Court. That, of course, is devastating. Now that that new reality has sunk in, I'd like to talk through that and related issues, and hopefully I'll be able to keep my cool. Just being so upset at being so discouraged and let down by people we have so admired for so long. The Telegraph, the London Daily Telegraph, quotes Dr. Dobson in his farewell address. You know that he continues to do the daily Focus on the Family radio show, but a few years ago he stepped down as president of Focus on the Family, but he continued as chairman. Now he's stepped down as chairman, but he continues as the host of their radio show. So in his farewell address, he's quoted in the Daily Telegraph saying this: "We tried to defend the unborn child," and he's speaking of their 30-year political struggle at Focus on the Family. And by the way, a dear friend of Bob Inyart Live is talk show host Steve Dace from Des Moines, Iowa. He's the number one talk host in Iowa on a 50,000-watt clear channel station. Here in Denver, Bob Inyart Live, we're on the nation's number one most powerful AM radio station, AM 670 KLTT, 50,000 watts. Well, in Iowa, Steve Dace is similar, but he's on a secular station. And so this London newspaper quotes Steve Dace on this topic about Dr. Dobson's farewell address. And they point out that the audio from Dr. Dobson's address was on Focus on the Family's website, but Steve aired the audio, and it was immediately taken off their website. And also, by the way, on Wednesday last week, 7 days ago, I joined Steve Dace in drive time out of Des Moines, goes into neighboring states there, and we talked at length about the parallel between Notre Dame having pro-lifers arrested for crying out against the injustice about lying about pro-aborts and deceiving Christians and pro-lifers into thinking that somebody who supports killing an unborn child is worthy of honor or support and so on. And we connected the dots, the parallel with the arrest of pro-lifers in Colorado Springs at Focus on the Family. In the same day that Alan Keyes was arrested in South Bend, Indiana, that the pro-life officials, ostensibly at Notre Dame, had Alan Keyes arrested, that same day, American Right to Life members were on trial in Colorado Springs, a jury trial with Focus on the Family as the complaining witness. Focus on the Family had these pro-lifers arrested, including me. I was one of the ones on trial. And so from this article in the Daily Telegraph, they quote Dr. Dobson saying, "We tried to defend the unborn child, the dignity of the family, but it was a holding action. We are awash in evil, and the battle is still to be waged. We are right now in the most discouraging period of that long conflict. Humanly speaking, we can say we have lost all those battles." And I would say that's right. In the audio clip of that, Dr. Dobson said, "Well, we did win for a while during the 80s on the pornography front. We did win." And if you recall, Dr. Dobson was on the President's Commission on Pornography. But I'd like to suggest a different interpretation. We did not win during the 80s on pornography. It's not as though America during the 1980s became less sexually obsessed. We didn't sell less sex. There wasn't less sexual immorality. What happened was Dr. Dobson was part of a team that recommended continued regulation of pornography. And that's not a victory. Christian leaders should realize you don't regulate rape. You don't regulate adultery. You don't regulate homosexuality. You don't regulate the murder of innocent children. You don't regulate the killing of Jews. You don't regulate the lynching of blacks. You don't regulate these things. You oppose them. And when Christian leaders think, well, if we oppose pornography, if we point out that for 3,500 years, sex outside of marriage has been criminal in the Judeo-Christian legal heritage, as it was in our own country, if we point out that sex outside of marriage was actually criminal, then we're going to look bad. We're not going to look good. We're not going to look modern. We're not going to look with it. We're going to look like cavemen, because sex outside of marriage is so absolutely accepted and promoted. And so we as Christian leaders, we can't remind people that it's not only a sin, it should also be recriminalized. You can't traffic in human sexuality. That should be criminal. So you can't pay a woman to be sexual on camera or have sex with a guy on camera and then sell it. It's prostitution. It should be illegal to traffic in human sexuality. But Dr. Dobson has a background as a psychologist, trained in Southern California at a secular university. And so he wasn't sure what to do. So he started this trend of our Christian leaders actually affirming that there's a free speech right to produce pornography and that we should regulate pornography so that the behaviors that go beyond the conscience of a community, those are the kinds of pornography we should regulate. And it should be so many feet away from a high school, and you got to be this age and that and on and on. And if our Christian leaders have crossed the line from advocating the criminalization to advocating let's regulate it, then what do you think our secular leaders will do? If the Christian leaders don't have the courage of their conviction, and if they're so ashamed of God's moral standard and God's criminal standard regarding sex outside of marriage, if our Christian leaders are ashamed of what's right, what makes them think the secular leaders are going to take a stand? Why are our Christian leaders always surprised and frustrated that our secular leaders don't take a stand when they won't take a stand? So humanly speaking, Dr. Dobson says we can say we have lost all those battles. That's because our strategy was designed to lose. When the Christian leaders say for 30 years, we're not going to advocate complete obedience to God. We're going to advocate that we compromise on do not murder in order to win some elections. And then down the road, we hope we'll win more and more. So we'll convince millions of Christians to compromise on do not murder and do not commit adultery and God's utter abhorrence and condemnation of homosexuality. We'll have everybody compromise on all these things. And eventually, if we compromise enough, we'll probably win. And so the news came out from a Washington Post media outlet by well-known journalist Greg Sargent, that he called Focus on the Family when a Republican senator said that he would not have a problem with Barack Obama nominating a homosexual to the U.S. Supreme Court. That's a lifetime nomination, of course. And he says, now, he must be from a liberal state, right? Like Oregon or something? Oh, he's from the Bible Belt. Oh, he's from the buckle of the Bible Belt. We're talking about Republican Senator Jeff Sessions from Alabama. That's the home of Judge Roy Moore. That's the home of SupremeJustice.net. Neat website. And so Greg Sargent called Focus on the Family to ask them their opinion. And they got to someone in their public policy division, a spokesperson for Focus on the Family, Bruce Hoskonecht. And I know Bruce Hoskonecht. In fact, he was at our trial for the members of American Right to Life, arrested at the request of Focus on the Family. And by the way, during the trial, the city attorney, the prosecutor, argued, you know, if they thought Focus on the Family was fraudulently fundraising, if Dr. Dobson violated his pledge and they're still broadcasting his pledge, they should have sued. There was another way to go. They should have sued. And we have considered that. But the Bible says you don't sue your brother. You don't go to court. You don't call the government in to judge brother between brother. You could as a last option. The Bible says that. But that's your last option. And so we don't want to do that. We want to go to Focus on the Family and beg them to stop dishonoring God regarding Dr. Dobson's broken pledge. So Bruce Hoskonecht, we went down there a few years ago. The elders of Denver Bible Church and I went down there, did a presentation. That presentation is now called Focus on the Strategy. Thousands of DVDs of Focus on the Strategy have gone out around the country. You can get it from us. You could get it at our website, kgov.com. You could watch for free Focus on the Strategy 2 on the internet at AmericanRightToLife.org. Well, Greg Sargent, the journalist at this Washington Post outlet, it's called WhoRunsGov.com, he reaches Bruce Hoskonecht, spokesperson for Focus on the Family, and Bruce is their judicial analyst, one of their judicial analysts. So they reached the perfect person to get the official answer from Focus on the Family regarding the standards for a judge. And Bruce Hoskonecht says this, we agree with Senator Sessions. You get that? That they'd have no objection to a homosexual nominated to the Supreme Court. The issue is not their sexual orientation. It's whether they are a good judge or not. Now, how could you be a good judge if you are actively unrepentant, affirming a perverse, abhorrent lifestyle that's an abomination to God and that has destroyed millions of people who have suffered tortured deaths because of the perversion and filth of homosexuality and the attack it is on God? When homosexuality is considered acceptable, the Bible is considered barbaric. Christianity and homosexuality are mutually exclusive. One or the other will be out of the closet. And Focus on the Family, back in the early 90s, we begged Focus on the Family, I did, on the air, to reconsider their campaign slogan of equal rights for homosexuals for Colorado's Amendment 2. We begged them, to reconsider equal rights for homosexuals, because there is no such thing, because there will not be equal rights between Christians and homosexuals. And today in America, the average Christian employee of a major corporation is afraid to let people know his belief that homosexuality is wrong, because very well he could be fired. Could be fired, could be sued, could be forced to provide services for homosexuals, and it just keeps getting worse. So Focus on the Family, they said, and here, spokesperson for Focus on the Family, the sexual orientation of the nominee should never come up, Bruce Hoskonecht said. It's not even pertinent to the equation. So, you know, that Focus on the Family, they used to speak against homosexuality. They spoke against homosexual adoption. Remember that? Remember in the bygone years? Back in the day when Focus on the Family would say homosexuals should not adopt. Do you remember those days? Remember those days when Focus on the Family would say you should not be forced to hire a homosexual? Remember back in the day when they said you shouldn't be forced to rent to a homosexual? Let's say you have an apartment upstairs for rent. You have an apartment upstairs for rent and two homosexuals come and they want to move in. And you think, I've got three young boys. I don't want them seeing two guys holding hands and sitting at the picnic table in the backyard and smooching over lunch. I don't want my kids to see that. No, I don't want to be an enabler. Your lifestyle is destructive. No, I don't want you to focus on the family. They used to support your right to not enable that kind of destruction. And they were against homosexual marriage. And we've been predicting for 20 years on the air that eventually Focus on the Family and all the major Christian ministries would only oppose homosexual dental care eventually. Because they keep narrowing it, narrowing it, narrowing it, narrowing it. And so now, you heard what the governor of New Hampshire said about authorizing homosexual marriage. This is in the New York Times. The governor of New Hampshire said he's willing to authorize same-sex marriage as long as there's an exception for churches. And what do you think Focus on the Family said about that? Bruce Hoskonecht, he was interviewed on the radio, said that Focus on the Family is in agreement with the governor of New Hampshire. How's that? You know what that means? That means 7 days ago, Focus on the Family was against homosexual marriage. Today, consistent with their moral slide, today they're against homosexual marriage unless there's an exception for Christians. How's that? Imagine the government saying, we're going to prohibit reading from the Bible except in church. Would that exception make you feel good? Would it warm the cockles of your heart? Feel good about that exception? Are we better off with that exception? No. That exception is an insult. We're going to legalize homosexual marriage except for Christians. That's a way of saying, look, Christians are the only group that can behave badly. Christians are barbaric. But for now, we're going to hold our nose and allow them to refuse to marry two homosexuals. But just wait a few more years. And by then, have you heard Focus on the Family oppose homosexuals adopting kids in the last 10 years? Have you heard that? They might have. I haven't heard it. Have you heard them saying you shouldn't be forced to hire a homosexual? I haven't heard that in 15 years. That was their stand. Today they told us they would not take that stand. Have you heard them say you shouldn't be forced to rent to a homosexual? Have you heard them say that they would not support a homosexual nominated to the Supreme Court? Not anymore. You got to track this group on a spreadsheet on a weekly basis to find out what their public policy is. Their public policy changes every week, and it slides with the culture because they have no foundation. So they took the audio off their website, family.org, but Steve Dace aired it. And Steve Dace gave it to us. So let's hear this brief clip from Dr. Dobson's farewell address.
The battles that we fought in the 80s now, we were victorious in many of those conflicts with the culture, trying to defend righteousness, trying to defend the unborn child, trying to preserve the dignity of the family and the definition of marriage. We fought all those battles. And really, it was a holding action. Dr. Moeller mentioned the pornography struggle. We made a lot of progress through the 80s, but then we turned into the 90s, and the internet came along, and a new president came along, and all of that went away. And now we are absolutely awash in evil, and the battle is still to be waged. And we are right now in the most discouraging period of that long conflict. Humanly speaking, we can say that we have lost all those battles.
That we have lost all those battles. Humanly speaking, we have lost all those battles. But you cannot lose when you honor God. When you honor God, you cannot lose. When you honor God, they might kill you, but you cannot lose when you honor God. Remember, Joshua was near Jericho, and there was a man standing in front of him in his way with a sword drawn. And Joshua said, the general of the Israelites, he said, are you for us or our adversaries? Whose side are you on, us or our adversaries? And the man with the sword drawn, he said, neither. He was the commander of the Lord's army. He was God himself. A Christophany, God the Son appearing to Joshua. And the commander of the Lord's army said, neither. but the place, the ground that you stand, the place that you stand is holy ground. Take off your sandals. And we have Christian leaders today that think that God is on the side of the Republicans. And Joshua said, whose side are you on? The Canaanites or the Israelites? And you might think that God would say, I'm on the side of the Israelites. Because they gave lip service to God. But he didn't. He said, I'm not on either side. And you wonder why? Joshua, turn around. Look at those people. You think God's on their side? I mean, they're as evil as you can be. And it's the same with the Republican Party today. Jesus criticized the publicans. You remember that? Jesus criticized the publicans, and we think we can get around that with the Republicans. We got the Republicans. And it's the same nightmare. God is not on the side of the Republicans. The Republicans could have been blessed if our Christian leaders for 30 years had taught honor God above all else. Never compromise on any biblical principle ever. Never. But they didn't. They taught us to look the other way when our Republican candidate wants to slaughter hundreds of thousands of kids. Look the other way. Say that he's 100% pro-life. Even though he'll fund the killing of hundreds of thousands of kids. So this Telegraph article in London quotes another friend of Bob and Yurt Live, Ray Moore, president of Exodus Mandate, a South Carolina-based group which organizes homeschooling for Christian kids. And Ray Moore said, political involvement by Christians is not wrong, but that's all the big groups did for 25 years. They were more concerned with fundraising and political power than they were with our children's welfare. It is a failed movement. We will end up like the Church of England, which has lost its way. And Steve Dace is quoted, conservatives became so obsessed with the political process, they've forgotten the gospel. All that time spent trying to sit at the table was not time well spent. Let's hear one more clip from Dr. Dobson.
There is such hostility to anyone who holds to a faith, and we're going to take the heat. But I have been assured by the board and by many of you that we're not going to cow, we're not going to be discouraged, we're going to continue to express the love for the scripture and the principles that we find there.
And, you know, that is great, right? If it were true. It's like Dr. Dobson saying, for as long as God lets me live on this earth, I will never again vote for a politician who has any exceptions regarding abortion. He invoked God's name in his pledge. And he violated that pledge saying, I will vote for John McCain, who has enough exceptions to fill a school bus of dead kids every day. And Dr. Dobson still plays that oath, that pledge, at their welcome center every day to thousands of visitors. And they air it on their radio show. And he's never apologized for violating that pledge. And it dishonors God further to continue to use that pledge as a fundraising and image PR tool when you violated it, even though you invoke God's name in making it. And so, yeah, if Focus on the Family would adhere to the principles they claim, which get their supporters so excited, they get me so excited when I hear that kind of commitment. But then we see now they're going to support, according to Bruce Hoskonecht, they're going to support, they agree with the New Hampshire governor who says that he will authorize homosexual marriage as long as there's an exception for churches. I mean, they were against homosexual marriage till 7 days ago. And they agree with Senator Sessions from Alabama, Republican, who said that he wouldn't object to a homosexual being nominated on the Supreme Court. Dr. Dobson, Jim Daly, Bruce Hoskonecht, Tom Minery, how do you think a homosexual would rule on homosexuals adopting kids? How do you think he'd rule? You think he just might favor the homosexual agenda side of the issue? How do you think he'd rule on homosexual marriage? But it doesn't matter anymore because Focus on the Family has taken the same position as the homosexual lobby, only they're only just a few years behind at every step of the way. And And so this is the disaster that has become of Christian leadership in America. This is the disaster. And we let Alan Keyes go after Notre Dame. He's Catholic. And I'm Protestant, for better or worse. And so we address focus on the family. You know, Jesus said, God says, judgment begins at the house of God. And you judge your own first. You clean up your own house first. And so I'm glad that Judy Brown of American Life League and Alan Keyes, I'm glad they go after the Conference of Catholic Bishops. I try not to mention it when the Archbishop in Denver compromises on the biblical principles that he claims, the pro-life principles he claims to uphold. And we have all these leaders saying, well, we're going to wait until personhood, until the courts are pro-personhood before we're going to advocate it. So you got the pro-life spiritual leaders saying, we're going to wait until the secular leaders repent before we have the courage to stand up and advocate personhood, the right to life of the unborn. And they're made in God's image. We're going to wait until the secular government gets us there first, and then we'll peek our heads out of a closet and say, well, we support that too. You know what they're saying? They're saying, we are not the true leaders. We are not the true leaders. We're going to wait for other leaders to get us there. When the Supreme Court is ready, when the godless secular Supreme Court is ready to recognize the God-given right to life of the unborn, that's when I will advocate personhood, says Dr. Dobson and Archbishop Chaput and the Conference of Catholic Bishops and National Right to Life and the American Family Association and Concerned Women for America and Jay Sekulo and Pat Robertson. They have sold their birthright for a bowl of porridge, for some red stew. They sold their birthright. We would have lived in a different world if for 30 years our Christian leaders would have said, never compromise on God's enduring command, do not murder. Never compromise. If there is a candidate who's willing to kill one innocent child, you tell him, I will not support you. I will not support you. We would live in a different world if our Christian leaders had the courage to not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But that's not the world we live in. We live in the world of FOCA and Barack Obama. Thanks for tuning in. Let a friend listen to this at kgov.com. And Maranatha, what a great school.